by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the show, wherever you're listening from. Of course, you can listen 24/7 on the radio station's app on demand. We have all of our episodes from the last few years. If maybe you just caught on to the show or maybe just heard about the show, you can go back and listen. We've had Game and Fish, Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports on every single show that we've done on this program, and we've covered a lot of great topics from walleye fishing, trout fishing, issues, and possible regulation changes over the years have all been brought up on this program. Bear hunting, the situation with the bears. We talked to Dan Thompson a lot of times about, you know, what you need to expect at certain points of the year when it comes to the bear. And, you know, we're starting to get to the winter ending and spring beginning, so things will start really changing up just a little bit. And we always want to remind you that if you have any questions for anyone on the program, if it's a guest you've heard, or Game and Fish, or Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, all you have to do is shoot me an email. Drew.Kirby, K-I-R-B-Y, at townsquaremedia.com. It's very simple. I can get all your questions answered and get you taken care of, because we want to make sure everyone is informed and everyone has the information that they need. And again, with the meetings that we just had, it's been crucial to get those opinions out there. And we'll talk more with Brian a little bit later on in this show about his thoughts on some of this. But this morning, we're starting the show off with new folks in Game and Fish. Of course, a long line of biologists, game wardens have come through this awesome land of ours here in Wyoming, and some of those move on and the roles have to be refilled. Well, we're going to introduce you to the latest wildlife biologist who will be stationed out of Douglas, and that's Kai. And Janet, we love that, you know, the new guys and girls are starting to really make their way through this organization.
That's right. If there's one thing that's constant in this world, it's change, right? We always get to say that there's always something going on in Game and Fish, and change is always abundant. And we have been talking about the changes in the Casper region for quite some time, about how we have had some shifts and changes and really some vacancies for quite a long time. And we're happy that this last week we were able to fill them. And so we have one of our new biologists, Kai Hicks, here today to talk about what he's going to be doing and his vision for the Douglas biologist job.
You know, you talk about the changes in Casper, and, you know, over the last year or so, we've got to know Brandon Werner pretty close on the show and getting a lot of information. And Kai, you'll get a chance to work quite a bit with Brandon. So I'm sure that you're learning quite a little bit as you're starting out your new journey.
Yes, I am. I get the pleasure of coming over to Casper at least twice a week and having him just show me around, show me all the models we're going to be going through. And we're right in the middle of a season setting process. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing that I jumped in right now, but we're definitely right in the middle of all the chaos that's going on as a biologist.
Kai's definitely drinking through a fire hose. The amount of stuff I throw at him, I just look at him and his eyes are really big, but we'll get through it.
I'm still drinking from the fire hose. So this is one of those things that this job is never dull, and you're constantly learning new and fun things, which is why we're excited to have, you know, folks like Kai on board, because the new fun knowledge that they can bring to us old folks is going to be fantastic as well.
I mean, obviously the job has to be pretty good because, you know, it's a generational job. Sons will follow their fathers, or daughters and their mothers, or daughters and their fathers. So it really is a generational opportunity.
Game and Fish is not just a job. It's a lifestyle, right? So we don't leave the office at 5 o'clock and be done with it. It is something that we eat, we breathe, We are doing 24 hours a day. And Kai has been doing that since he was just a little pup. He is, you know, not from our region. He has was born and raised in Wheatland. And for any of the listeners down in that area, you will know his father, Martin, who was just a fantastic wildlife biologist for us. And so he really has come to us with extra special skills and techniques since he kind of grew up in ground zero of chronic wasting disease. He knows so much. And, you know, there's nothing like being a 15-year-old kid and being out there taking lymph nodes with your dad.
Kai, you had the opportunity to come up with Wyoming Game and Fish, really, and spend that time with your dad and really get the knowledge as a youngster.
Yeah, I got to see my dad through all the ups and downs, every part of the process from December to January. So I definitely have an idea of kind of what's going on.
Brandon, I know that Kai is going to be right in the middle of the Casper region, really, in Douglas. That's between his homeland of Wheatland and Casper, and Glendo is in there. And what do you guys have planned for the year?
Well, I tell you what, Kai's really set himself apart with his ability to build landowner relationships, which is really important in the Douglas district. There's so much private land there. It goes all the way to the Nebraska line, partially up to South Dakota. And so we'll be out there communicating with landowners, communicating with the public to see what changes we're going to make in the future. You know, the biggest one that we're going to be looking at doing is doing a season split in Area 7 elk. And we'll be doing public meetings and everything on that to get people up to speed on that.
So the biologist, very important to the area, because you're the person that's out there on the ground. And Kai, I know that with your dad being in this and taking some tips from him, I'm sure having that good relationship with the landowners, like Brandon was talking, it is very important to you as well.
Oh, it's super important. I was also blessed. Not only did I grow up in a green truck, but I have a very extensive ranching background. I worked on a ranch since I was 13 years old, all the way through college. So being able to go out and help other landowners, help other ranches, definitely helped me to be able to make those landowner connections, to be able to talk to them about what's going on, talk to them about cattle, talk to them about wildlife, and just to have that mutual relationship, I think is very important.
So, Kai, I know that you and Brandon have been out trapping turkeys. You've been learning the turkey situation. I know in the Douglas area, you get down toward Laramie Peak, and there's lots of turkeys in that area. Does Douglas experience anything like Casper does when it comes to the turkey population in town?
From what I've seen this year, no. I know it's a really mild year. Those turkeys tend to stay just kind of on the outskirts of town. They're kind of more hanging out in those ag fields, those river bottoms. So I think there's that buffer between the Laramie Range and Douglas with those creek bottoms, rather than here in Casper, where you go from mountain straight into the city, and that's where those turkeys like to winter. So we don't really have as much problems over there with turkeys.
Do you think this first year of season setting information that you've been getting so far, I know that you've probably been attending a couple of these public meetings. How are you taking the information that the public is giving Game and Fish and calculating it and putting it in the brain to put it away for later?
Right now, like just like Brandon said, drinking from a fire hose, a big thing for me right now, I think, Brandon can correct me if I'm wrong, but is to just take that public input and write it down, especially when you're starting off at a new position. I don't feel like I can quite form an opinion yet. So just taking that information in and writing it down and just having that in the back of your head from months ago of what people said, what landowners said, what the public said, I think that's just a good starting point for me right now.
It is. And we're getting to the time of the year where we're getting all of our harvest data back from last fall. So we really take what the public's seeing, what the landowner is seeing, and with our own harvest data, and really putting that all together to make a real good informed decision to make a proposal for the next year.
Well, and one of the things that we've talked about, especially with Brandon kind of being new in his role too, the shaking hands and kissing babies and getting out and meeting people is an important part of it.
It really is. And I think that that's one of the things that people often miss is how much we have to interact with the public and love to interact with the public, right? We are managing a public resource. And so whatever we can do on the ground to kind of help with that. And I think people do forget that. We, you know, they oftentimes think that, you know, we don't want to hear that information or that we're not listening, but we absolutely do. And that's why we're here. And we're excited when we have a room full of people, whether they're mad at us or think we're the best thing in the world. It is exactly why we have those meetings and what we do.
So, Kai, do you have any personal goals to really start off your first season setting time frame here?
To get through it.
Yeah.
Really, like Brandon said earlier, there is so much information. Like we said before, I grew up around it, but that was the part of the, this part of the year is when I left my dad, I got out of his office, got out of his way. So a lot of this is new for me. So just to get through it and to build those landowner relations and those public relations and just to put a name to a face.
Well, Kai, we appreciate you coming on with Janet and Brandon, and good luck in your first season-setting meetings, and we hope you have a great spring.
Well, thank you very much.
You got it. If you want more details or you want to get in contact with anyone from Game and Fish, wgfd.wild.gov. You can go to the region, Casper region, and get in contact with those folks. And in just a couple of minutes, the number one badge in the Wyoming Game and Fish Game Warden Department. Rod Lieber. It's coming up.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Welcome back to Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. And Janet Millick back with us. Janet, we just talked to Kai. Kai in the Douglas area now as the biologist there. And another guy that kind of hovers around those parts has been here for quite a while and made an impact on Game and Fish.
Dare we say today is about the young and Rod, should we say old? No, not old, maybe longevity, right, Rodney? So we are here to celebrate Rodney Liebert, who just a couple weeks ago was pinned with badge number one.
Now, Rod, I know that that badge carries a heck of a weight because now everyone from badge two to whenever – all looks right up to you. The spotlight is on you now, Rodney.
That's probably the disadvantage to having badge number one. Now I have to work probably twice as hard as the youngsters do just to show things, you know, and I'll have to work at it pretty hard, you know, being my age. So
now let's go back a little while and kind of talk about how you got in to being a game warden and what your like goals were at the beginning.
You know, Drew, when I was 10, I figured out what I wanted to do as a kid. I wanted to be a park ranger or a game warden. It came from a vacation driving through Yellowstone National Park. We saw a person in front of us. And this is now, Drew, this is way back when McDonald's was just open. And so, you know, it's been a while back. So anyway, so we're driving through Yellowstone and they throw a sack of McDonald's trash out the window in the park. And I asked Dad, I said, Dad, how can I combat that problem? I don't like that. And my dad told me, he says, you have to be a park ranger or law enforcement in order to take care of the problem. So that's what I did. I said, decided then. I said, oh, I said, I want to live in the mountains, Dad, too. I love the mountains because, you know, we cut wheat, you know, in Kansas and on the farm every summer. Then we'd come to Wyoming or Montana, you know, or places in the mountains and we'd vacation, get away from the heat. So I told them, I said, well, when you guys stop coming from out from New York, you know, when you move to the country, I told them, I said, you stopped short. You should have kept going to the mountains and set up a ranch up there. It'd been nice. But so anyway, so that's kind of how I got started. But I started with a department in 88 with the fish division. I got hired as a fish technician. Well, that was a riot. That was a great job working for the fish division. The jobs that all of our people do in the field are second to none. It was great doing that. I learned a lot. They taught me a lot about what I need to do as a game warden to protect the resource. So I started my career off right. And then I took the test and became a reservoir warden at Flaming Gorge, worked there for about a year. And then I moved to Casper for a full-time job as a damage control warden.
You've worked a lot of the industry and seen the department come from, you said 1988 to now. That's quite a while. And we've talked to a lot of the outdoor wildlife biologists and fisheries biologists about how Game and Fish has really evolved through those years. So you've seen it come from, you know, a department that maybe wasn't as strong to one that is extremely strong today.
I think the guys that are my age, me and Matt and the few older guys that are left, I think we've seen probably the most change in the Wyoming Game and Fish Department than any other people have seen. I know in the old days, I remember Dave Avey and those guys that are retired, and I got a lot of respect for those old game wardens. They worked hard over the years to set up the red shirt and to get us in a location where we're as being respected all throughout the country, and especially in North America. At that North American meeting that we have for wildlife enforcement officers every year, it seems that everybody wants to know what the red shirts are doing. And we talked to a bunch of them. I know a lot of game wardens, and everybody wants to know what we're doing. So the guys early set it up. The older guys, our job has changed dramatically, and especially in the last 15, 20 years. Electronics has gone through the roof. What we do on a computer, when you interviewed a guy, you had to coerce him into telling you the truth, all the time, and you had to figure out how to get him to tell you the truth. I mean, there's a lot more things that we have and tools that we have to try to convict people instead of just doing something, interviews and stuff like that in the old days.
Through the years, you obviously have come in contact with hundreds of thousands of people from fishing or hunters or those that just have questions. And I know that when people see that green truck with a guy wearing a red shirt roll up, their butt gets really tight in certain times because they may be doing something wrong. And I know that you have quite a few stories from throughout the years. Is there a couple of them that just stick out to you?
I've had some big cases. One that comes to mind is hunting in the sticks case. It's called The Rock. An investigator, Mike Elbrock and myself, we got to work in this, and we got a tip from one of our own biologists, our habitat biologist, says, hey, there's a video on the hunting show where they're in one location in the timber hunting elk, and they kill an elk in different trees or in the picture. Mike sent out a picture and said, hey, does anybody know where this is at? And I happened to call Mike and said, yeah, I think I know where this is at. And he goes, no. And I said, yep, I think I know where this is at. So we started investigation. Mike and I flew. We're on the ground hiking. We finally located the tree that was in the video. It was kind of it was a very happy, happy find, because locating something, from a film is tough sometimes. It's not as easy as it looks. But there was a rock. There was a 7-foot rock we were looking for. And in the video, when we found the tree, it was a certain tree. Then we found the rock. And then we found the dead elk. And this is 2 years later. Of course, there's nothing but bones after 2 years, but we could tell what they did to the elk. They didn't take the whole elk. We could tell that by knife marks and all that stuff on the bones. We looked at it. So, I mean, that started the investigation. Mike and I ended up going to, we flew to Kentucky, contacting these guys. We served federal search warrants with local game wardens and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We hit two houses at 6 a.m. in the morning. It was a big surprise. The bigger surprise during the interview with one of the suspects I was on in the one house and Mike went to the other was when the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said, hey, by the way, this is Rod Lieber. He's the game warden from Wyoming. And when we had flown out there from Wyoming, those two guys knew that they were in trouble then. We found the second elk. The guy told me kind of where it was at, and I knew where it was. I'd walked already like 4 feet from it we kind of knew where it was. So we found it. We charged him. 15 years where the privileges were revoked from the two. They received a pretty hefty fine. It was in the five digits.
Did the hunting show ever do an update? Did they ever say, listen, don't screw around with Wyoming because Rod will come and get you?
I never heard nothing. This is an interesting twist on the case. We met with the producer of the show. And the producer of the show, he couldn't believe that they had done this stuff. And this was the only trip he didn't go on. And we said, well, you're lucky because you could have been charged with accessory in the whole deal if you'd went along. And he said, yeah. So we talked to him and met with him. And of course, we're standing there and he gets a phone call from one of them. The guy calls him, and while we're standing on the cell phone, we can hear him. And he says, I'm standing here with the guys from Wyoming. Oh, well, I'll talk to you later. And they hung up the phone real quick. So the producer ended up having to shut the show down and everything. So they were actually having a following on the show that whether they harvested something or not, the public didn't care. They just liked to show because they were hunting public land and they appreciated it. They were showing them something they could do and it was cheap. And they could go hunting and, you know, kind of afford it, just us guys who are normal. Yeah, the guys just didn't realize what they had. They felt they had to kill something in order to, you know, make it look good.
Geez, I bet you could probably have your own show at this point, Rod. But you have the number one badge. What is the goal of Rod Lieber for the future?
You know, they took the cap off of game wardens at 65 retiring, you know. It'd got to be nice to be the first game warden to work to 70. It'd be kind of neat, you know. I mean, I'd like to see, you know, kind of how that would go. I'm going to have to, like I said, I'm going to have to start running and doing all sorts of stuff to get in shape, you know, to keep in shape for these youngsters. So I got to keep up. So that's all there is to it.
You know, you can see not only badge number one as being the longest in the field, but also number one in passion. And that is what makes Rodney so fantastic. We sit here and we laugh and we joke, but it is the passion and the care for the wildlife that just drives Rodney. And we all just love to be around him because he expresses his passion. He shares his excitement and the new kids in the agency just eat it up and really learn from him.
The one thing that I want to say is this state has a resource. I hate for this state to lose that resource and compromise it because what we have is something special that hardly anybody else in the country has. The wildlife, the scenery, and I'm proud to work for the department and to try to protect that. I got in this business to take care of those big cases like that with those guys who don't respect it. The lack of respect is what gets those guys into trouble. And they forget, you know, what people use, what people pay for to go see. We live in a state where people pay to come to vacation. Great state. I can't say anything better than that. So
there you go. Right from number one. Rod, we appreciate you coming on and appreciate all you've done over the years. And we look forward to seeing out there this summer and make some people shaking their boots when they see you.
Thanks, Drew. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'll be down to Glendale, you know, checking out things down there, too.
Well, we look forward to seeing you, Rod. Thanks again for being on the show. Thanks, Janet. Thanks, Brian, for bringing Rod on, and congratulations on that number one badge. We're back with Brian from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports in minutes.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew along with Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, where, you know, you never know what kind of a situation you're going to run into here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And that's why it's cool that there are professionals all throughout the store. Jesse has been here for a long time. He knows about shooting and hunting. And there was a guy that came in with some firearm issues, and Jesse was able to point him in the right direction.
Yeah, whether they want to believe us or not, but we generally can figure out what's going on if you're having a problem with a firearm. But yeah, especially when you buy a used firearm, you know, you bought one from a buddy who just didn't want it anymore, and now you're finding out that it's having an extractor problem, or it's not hitting the primer right, or not the action is not working correctly. You know, we can not necessarily always fix the problem for you, but we can certainly identify it and lead you to a gunsmith that can take care of it.
Well, and obviously if it's beyond repair or you have some issues that can point you in the direction of the correct part of the wall where you can find a gun that can replace it because of the selection being so big.
Yeah, you know, we are definitely not like one of those high-pressure sales places. You know, if you're looking at the gun on a wall, you might be looking at it by yourself because, you know, we're just not the guy that's going to come up there and say, oh, yeah, this is the car for you, buddy. You know, got four great wheels. And but we might ask you some questions as, you know, what you're looking for, what's your hunting style, what are you hunting, maybe to help lead you to a caliber that might be suitable. But after that, you know, guns are on the wall where you can pick them up and put them up to your shoulder and see how they fit and, you know, go from there.
So we, you know, are kind of in a part of the year now where, you know, we always talk about there's always something to do. Well, now there literally is kind of if you're not an ice fisherman, that's about it, unless you start coyote hunting or just going out and plinking around.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys right now that are rabbit hunting, coyote hunting. You know, they're maybe still shooting pigeons. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's still open. and goose season closes today. So for me, it's another sad day. But then we've got the bird farm open, you know, so there's still places to go shoot pheasants. And we'll do that till the end of March.
Right. And, you know, so obviously get out and check that out. And if you need any kind of assistance there with the shells you're going to shoot or the maybe a new firearm. I know a lot of guys like to shoot the over-under when they're going out and shooting the pheasant or clay pigeons even at that moment.
Yeah, you know, the over and under definitely is a little more sporty for some, right? You know, got to hold your pinky up when you say that.
Yeah, right.
It's a little more sporty, you know, it's just a two-holer, or as if you're running a semi-automatic, you know, you can shoot three. But
and I need all that I can. So
that's my feeling too. If I can shoot two, why wouldn't I want to shoot three?
Right.
I mean, why not just shoot a single shot? I mean at that point.
Yeah.
There's less to do, and you know we're starting to see some guys that fortunate enough to get a little tax money back. So you know now's the time to, if you you know wanted to buy a grinder last year and you just you know didn't have the resources then, but you know spend some of that. That tax money on something that you need now so that in the fall you won't have to spend it.
Yeah, and you know you guys run a layaway program too, so mm-hmm. if in 60 days you're going to get that tax money, you can definitely have what you want on the shelf and you know make some payments on it. And
yeah, and we're pretty flexible even on the payments. We generally want 20% down with 90 days to pay it. But as long as there's some type of payment being made and you just didn't forget about the item, we're going to be pretty flexible with you.
Get in here and check them out, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, where, you know, this time of year, good time, and we talk about this a lot, too. If you're a boat fisherman, you know, checking that boat out. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of guys have it in the shed or in storage, so now's the time you can get in there and really see what you need to do.
Well, now's a great time to update your electronics, you know. So we have a lot of guys that finally have kind of got into that forward-facing sonar, and we've sold a few of the ice bundles where guys are like, can't believe how awesome they work on the Garmin side. But we do have some of the Garmin standalone units with the live imaging or the forward facing sonar. So come into the store, pick those up, get your boat rigged, you know, here in the garage while you know the weather's kind of not so great, and then you'll be ready for fishing season.
So I know there are some guys that have picked up a new boat since they last, you know, stored them last year, and now is a good time to really familiarize yourself with that boat, because things are going to be different, especially if you got a different, you know, brand or a different style.
I know for me, it's organizing the tackle. You know, we pitch jigs a lot and run in different plastics, and a lot of times they just get thrown into the bottom of a drawer or a compartment in the boat. Mm-hmm. And so now it's kind of like, all right, let's go back and put those jigs in the right boxes, and those plastics can go back over here, and this is trash, and let's get rid of that, and let's, you know, what are we missing for the next season? And just kind of organizing all those tackle boxes.
But, of course, there's still the opportunity to get out and do some fishing while you're at it.
Well, this is a great time, especially for trout. You know, there's a lot of tailwaters that are still open. You know, whether you're up on the Mile, you're down below Gray Reef, or maybe even further downriver down below the power plant, there's a lot of great opportunities for some trout fishing. Every once in a while, you might find a walleye in those presentations. But this time of year is, like, I mean, one of my favorite times to hit those river stretches.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, get out and check it out. And do remember that it's important that if maybe last year you went out early and did some ice fishing and you went and got your fishing license in February instead of your normal May, you probably need to go get your license updated. This is one of the things now that it's license date to license date. So if you get yours on today's date, 1 year from now, you have to up your or renew your fishing license. So that really is something that is important. If you're heading out on the water to do some ice fishing or maybe to the river to do some trout fishing and just cast that line in there to get some opportunities for some great looking fish here in Wyoming, you got to get out and do that. And you can come into Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Get your license. You can do it online at the wwgfd.yo.gov website. And while you're around, make sure you got everything taken care of and figured out that you need. Like, say, for instance, your parks passes or your ORV tags and stickers for your side-by-sides. Maybe you're doing some snowmobiling. You got to have all of those stickers, and you want to make sure that you're doing it all right. So make sure to come in here to Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, get all that taken care of, and make sure you have all those different items that you need. We talked about the boats or your tackle box or maybe loading up your rods with new line. Always a good thing to do and always an opportunity for you here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. Oh, and also, don't forget, they do have that indoor archery range. So if you're one that wants to keep up on your shooting, your archery shooting, maybe you're looking at a new bow and you want to get it broken in or you want to get it ordered, you can do all that right here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports as well. Go follow along on their Instagram and their Facebook page. Just look for Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. There are multiple stores across the state, and you can see their website, which is RockyMountainSports.com. We're back with more with Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports in minutes.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew and Brian back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And you talked earlier about, you know, people shooting the pigeons or whatever. And this week here at our building, we were chasing a pigeon. It got up into our attic and into our ventilation system. And for 2 days, I was running pigeon traps, trying to figure out how we were getting it out. And you'll never guess how we did it.
Peanut butter.
No. Turned pigeon calls on a cell phone and walked out of the room. And it came back out of the vent, and then we let it out the door.
Going towards the call.
Yeah, going towards the call. Yeah. It, I mean, hey, if you ever wondered if calls work.
On pigeons.
There you go. It works. You just play the YouTube version of pigeon calls, and it's done.
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
I know. I know. It's one of those things. You're going to have to start selling pigeon calls now.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, when you're really trying to find something to do this time of year, maybe it's running through the attic looking for pigeons, but there's also some things coming up, and I know the walleye season for the Walleye Stampede is coming up in May, but before we get to that, the North Platte Walleyes have their banquet and then tournament.
Yeah, so North Platte Walleyes, their annual all-you-can-eat walleye banquet is April 12th this year, and I do have tickets here at the store, whether you need an individual seat or buy a table of eight. We also have some sponsorship opportunities for the banquet. And again, we've talked about it before, but you know, this is one of the few organizations that I get back behind 100%. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I just like fishing walleyes, because I like shooting deer and elk and all those other organizations that. But this fundraising event, basically 100% of the money stays in Wyoming. And if you've ever had a kid or a grandson that's gone to Yesness Pond for a fishing derby, or maybe a school event where he came home with a fishing pole, those fishing poles most likely came through the North Platte Walleyes. So they've also done with the Life Jacket Loaner Program. There's a scholarship up at Casper College. They've done a lot of great things, community-based, that this money goes for. And it just allows us to be able to help the communities and other surrounding communities.
And this year it's going to be at the fairground, so the industrial building will be the location. And if you've gone out to the hangar, you know, it gets a little cramped in there, but a little more space means a little more opportunity.
Yeah, it's definitely going to give us a little more space. Corey from Occasions by Corey is going to be doing the catering on the event this year, and I haven't been to an event where he hasn't done a great job, so really looking forward to that. But this is going to allow us to not sell out, you know, 2 months in advance, which typically does happen. So don't worry about not getting a ticket, but I would also try to get them as quickly as you can.
Yeah, we're just under 2 months away from that happening anyway. So get in here and check out about that. Also, you can get in and drop your application off for the Walleye Stampede, which that first tournament, what is that, the 10th and 11th of May, I think?
Yep. Yeah, May 10th and 11th. And that first one is held at Glendo. Applications are being accepted for all three events, but if you're one of those guys that can only fish one or two of the events, go ahead and get those applications to us as well, because once we draw everybody into positions that's going to fish all three events, then we'll start plugging in the guys that are only fishing the one tournament here, one tournament there.
So obviously you can go check out the Wyoming Walleye Stampede Facebook page to find out information there, or stop in here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, and check that out. And I know that, you know, the last week we had really good response from people that, you know, were pretty passionate about the meetings that were held at, with Game and Fish. And I know that especially with the North Platte Walleyes, there'll be a lot of guys that will want to talk about the things that may be changing.
Yeah, you know, and you know, we discussed some of those rule propositions, I guess, that they're looking at changing, and you know, overall, I'm pretty good with it. I do think that they should reevaluate like some of the restrictions on gray reef, at least for a portion of it, because if we do change that regulation to flies only, it's going to take a lot of opportunities away from our youth that, you know, can't, you know, you got a under 16-year-old that's never fished with a fly rod, you know, or a 6 or 7-year-old that's just learning how to cast, you know, it's going to take that out of the equation. And I think they should have the opportunity to fish a little bit of the river as well. So again, your voice is going to be heard. And once they come out with these new, what they actually defined as the actual rules, there's going to be an open public comment section, another public meeting as well, I think. And that's going to be some times where you might be able to offer some suggestions on what you would like to see done differently.
Yep. And obviously, again, as we talked last week, if you still want to get your voice heard, you can drop your info to the folks at Game and Fish, and they'll take everything, you know, any information that you have, and put it into a good use. And you know, you mentioned a little bit earlier today that today being the last day of goose season, and was this season, it was a little funky, wasn't it, compared to the last couple of years where you had pretty good success?
Well, for us it was a little bit better on the goose side of things, not as good for me on the duck side of things. But it's all weather related, you know. You know, I wouldn't say it's global warming or anything, but I would say that, you know, the bird patterns, you know, maybe the flight patterns are changing up a little bit, you know, for because of weather, maybe because of windmills, I don't know. But we didn't have that big push from up north early on, and then we had so much open water and not a lot of cold here, so the river stayed open in town. Lots of geese on the golf course. You know, yeah. they weren't pushed outside of town. It was good. I mean, you make it what you make out of it, and you know, we'll do it again next year.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of interesting because now you're into the mode where you're going to go back, you're going to check out your blinds, your layout blinds, and like we talked with the boats, get them kind of replenished and ready to go for next year.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of effort put into them. You know, you got ducks, decoys in the blind, and, you know, you got heaters and stuff. You got to kind of get put back away, you know, tuck those away in the shed. And then, you know, there's just a lot of wear and tear on stuff, you know. So whether it's fixing decoys or maybe having to replenish some decoys or just fixing blinds, yeah, we'll spend some time over the summer months once it gets a little warmer to take care of that. But, you know, as soon as the season comes to an end, you know, we're going to transition right back into the open water boating season because it's going to be right behind us.
Yeah, so make sure to stop in here. And like we talked earlier, if you need to replenish that tackle box or maybe you had some rods broken or reels, you know, really tangled up, that'd be a good time to get those all stringed up too.
Yeah, you know, we do offer, you know, fishing line on bulk, so we can string your reels for you. And line your reels. You got me saying string. Yeah, now's a good time to do that. You know, do you use our bulk, or if there's a certain line that you prefer, you know, if you purchase a line, we can actually line it on there for you. So now's a good time to kind of get some of that stuff done as well.
Yeah, and obviously you can go check them out online at RockyMountainSports.com. And don't forget, get signed up for the Wyoming Walleye Stampede and buy those tickets for the North Platte Walleye Banquet coming up on the 14th of May. On the 14th of April.
April 12th.
On the 12th of April. We're not drinking. Promise. All right, Brian, thanks again. And thank you for tuning in another week of Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. Stick around next week for another great show.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.